to facilitate involvement in all that would like to be involved. And so other announcements, and I do want to remind you, as this new format progresses during that 15-minute break, 10:45 to 11, we will be putting prayer requests up on the screen. We have to get some prayer request cards. Also, the announcements letting you know what is taking place. Please do not forget, log in Breeze management software for the church to know what events are taking place and what is going on, and we'll try to keep you update with the announcements as well. I realize that this is about the time that we are normally wrapping up, and I am just approaching the pulpit to take a text and preach, but I hope that you'll get behind me and help me preach. You know I'm not normally a long-winded preacher, so I like to hit it and get it. And but let's look into the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter number 18, begin reading in verse number 6. At the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Skip down to verse number 10, if you will. "Take heed that ye despise not one of the little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven..." Everybody say, "they're angels." In heaven, they're angels. I almost read from that, and I hope you don't think I'm taking out of context, that everybody has angels. Jesus said, they're angels. "That their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Be careful you don't offend one of these little ones, because their angels are always beholding the face of my Father in heaven. There's a reason why Jesus says that. "For the Son of Man is come to save..." Everybody say "that." "The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. With the help of the Lord, I wanted to preach to you upon this subject. That which was lost. That which was lost. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. Power, presence that we feel in this place this morning, Lord, I pray, God, for the remaining moments that we have together, Lord, that your word would speak to us, God, that we would open our hearts and our minds to receive. God, I know that as humans we are often, God, slave to programs, Lord, but I pray, God, that we would be very attentive to your word, that we would allow it, God, to speak to our heart and our minds, that we would leave here with a fresh revelation and understanding, God, of what you desire, God, and the reason why you said what you said in Scripture. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. One of the ushers, if you could bring me some water, that would be wonderful. Often we look at this passage, and more specifically Matthew 18 verse 11, and we conclude that what Jesus is referring to here is lost humanity. Sinners far from Jesus. However, while in a sense this is undoubtedly true, there, I believe, is more to the story. The Bible does not say them that are lost. The Bible does not say that which is lost. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Say it with me. There is something, in other words, that was lost, and the Son of Man is come to save it. There is something. There is that something that was lost. And I realize, and readily we preach it, and we should, that this is in reference to humanity. This is in reference to sinners. This is in reference to the sheep that have gone from the fold. And while all that is true, and while all that has meaning, I believe that there is a deeper meaning to what Jesus is saying.
He said, the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. In the Greek, it reads, the Greek translation is, has come indeed the Son of Man to save which has been lost. And to think about, there is a reason why Jesus is saying these things in the context of bringing a child before them. There is a reason why Jesus is wanting to represent the relationship as he brings this child and sets this child down in the midst of them and says, except you humble yourself and become as this little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, if you offend one of these little ones, it's better for you that a millstone were hanged about your neck and you were cast into the midst of the sea, because these children represent something. They represent something that was lost. They represent something that I have come to save. They represent something. There's much more meaning than it's just a little child. There's meaning in the reason why I have brought this child and set him down in the midst of us. In order for us to understand this meaning, in order for us to see what Jesus is referring to when he says that which was lost, we have to go back to the beginning. When that which he has come to save was lost. When the thing that Jesus says, I am now here to save or rescue, when that thing was lost. Back to when there was a time when God and Adam walked in the cool of the garden. A time where there was relationship. You read the lineage that Luke brings out of Jesus, the side of Joseph, you will find in Luke 3:38, near the end of that lineage, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. You see, when God created Adam, he created a father-son relationship. When God created Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, God created a father-son relationship with Adam. Luke denotes that he was the son of God. We don't know how long he lived in immortality and in relationship as the voice of God walked in the cool of the garden. We don't know how many meetings were there. We don't know. What we do know is that there was a relationship. What we do know is that there was no sin in the picture, and there was only innocence, and there was only a perfect harmony and relationship between God and man, between divinity and humanity. And here in the garden, at the very beginning, is something that is very special to God. I'm sorry, I'm going to have trouble with my emotions here this morning, but because I see something here in Scripture that I never saw before. There's something that is so special and so meaningful to God. God looks down and he sees man that he has created, and he says to himself, it's not good that man should be alone, and so I will make a help meet for him. And so he causes a deep sleep. Many of us know the story, to come upon Adam, and he takes from his rib and he creates a woman. And Adam says, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And so now Adam has a relationship with creation. Yes, he had a relationship with those things that God had created, the animals. There are some that even believe that the animals spoke, because it was not alarming to Eve when the serpent spoke to her. I don't know. I'm not trying to get all crazy. All I know is that what happened and what existed in the garden prior to sin was something wonderful. It was a relationship that is absolutely astounding. And this relationship, Once sin enters into the picture, and once Adam eats of the fruit, this relationship, this father-son relationship, is strained at best. Commune and the harmony that once existed between God and man, between God and the Son of God, is no longer what it once was. Sin has entered into the picture, and it has severed, it has strained a very meaningful relationship to God. And I begin to wonder as I begin to read the passage. Genesis chapter 3, verses 23-24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Wonder what happened in the heart of God. He had to drive out his son from paradise, the place that he had created in absolute perfection, the place where he would walk with him in the cool of the... I wonder what happened to the heart of God when he put Adam out. Drove him from the garden, the Bible says. You can't come here anymore, Adam. You have sinned, and now this relationship that I cherish so much, this harmony that we have, is no more, because sin has entered into the picture. This relationship, this father-son relationship, is now lost. We can't walk where we used to walk. And we can't talk where we used to talk. And we can't commune. We can't meet where we used to meet, Adam. Relationship is lost. I must drive you from the garden. So I never saw this before, but I so many times I see things in relationship. I know how it would hurt me if I had to drive my son out. I know how it would hurt me in a natural and my meaningful relationship with my own children if I had to drive them out and say, we can't talk like we used to talk, and we can't meet like we used to meet. What happened to the heart of God? This, I wonder, is what Jesus was referencing when he said, they're angels. See, these little ones, these angels are always beholding the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Maybe it is, and please allow me this liberty, maybe it is that these angels are looking at the face of a longing Father. A Father who wants relationship restored with His children. And Jesus said, I'm so serious about this. You need to understand, God is so serious about this that if you even so much as offend one of these children, it's better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and that you are cast in the middle of the sea. You need to understand, this is how much it means to my Father to have a relationship with His children. I believe Jesus bringing the child and setting him down in the midst was a sign. It was a representation of a father-son relationship. Jesus says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. To mess with your theology, and I don't mean, listen, we need to understand something. Yes, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, but you need to understand the reason why that is because that is the beginning of the restoration of the father-son relationship. It is the beginning of what the Lord lost in the garden when sin entered into the picture. And now through repentance, there is restoration available of that father-son relationship. And so when Jesus said, their angels are beholding the face of my Father, which is in heaven, I understand this, that when someone comes to God and repents there is joy, catch this, in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say there's joy in the angels. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Who is in the presence of the angels? God looks down and he sees because of Jesus Christ, I'm reconciling the world unto myself. And that father-son relationship that was lost is now made available through the blood of Jesus Christ. Need I draw your attention to Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal. When the prodigal son realizes, when he comes to himself, the Bible says, verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. This is a picture of the father-son relationship. It was lost in the garden. He walked with God. He walked with Adam in the garden. The father sees his son coming, and while he was ways off, he runs. The relationship is coming back. The son is coming back into a relationship with his father. And so he runs to where he is and has compassion upon him. He says, get the best robe, put a ring upon his hand and shoes upon his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. Is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be married. The father-son relationship is back. That which was lost has been saved. But catch it. There's another part to the story. Because the elder son hears the party going on and he asks one of the servants, what's going on? What's happening at father's house? The servant tells him, your brother's come home. They're throwing a feast, they're throwing a party. And the Bible says the elder son would not go in. Look at verse 28 of Luke 15. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out. Treated him. The father ran to the son who was coming back. He also comes out to the son who would not go in. How he longs for the father-son relationship. How he longs for this relationship. And he says, What are you doing out here? And he answering and said to his father, catch this, lo, these many years I do serve thee. Lo, these many years I do serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. See that the response of the son is very telling. Lo, all these years do I serve thee. There's a problem in your relationship with the Father because you still see yourself as a servant. All these years do I serve thee. And the Father looks at his son and says, wait a second, all that I have is thine. At any time, you could have killed him. you could have killed the fatted. At any time you could have made merry with your friends. The problem is not in my relationship with you. The problem is in your relationship with me. Because you still see yourself as a servant. I don't know which is worse. I don't know if it's worse for the son who wasted his substance with riotous living, or if it's worse for a son who never used the substance because he saw himself as a servant. He's been here the whole time. You've had access to it every single moment of every day. All that I have is thine. Can I say this somewhere along the line? Yes, he is our master, and yes, he is our Lord, and yes, we are servants of the Most High God. But somewhere along the line, you got to start seeing yourself as more than just a servant. Somewhere along the line, you got to realize he longs for a more intimate relationship with you. Yes, he is master, and yes, he is Lord, and yes, he is Savior. But Jesus said, when you pray, you start like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, I think we are cutting ourselves short as the offspring of Almighty God, because we just see ourselves as servants. We're sons and daughters. We are children of God. And what Jesus is trying to get those in that audience to understand: I've come to save that which was lost. I've come to save. There's a redemptive relationship that I am restoring that was lost in the garden. I've come to save that which was lost. I've come to restore that relationship, Father to Son. I've come to restore that relationship. You see, this is why Luke 12:32 says this: Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The problem is we don't see ourselves as sons and daughters. We see ourselves much of the time as servants. I knew it was going to get tight in here at that. Because if we truly understood the relationship that Jesus restored at Calvary, listen to what he says. Bible tells us, did it please God to bruise him? That's not masochistic. God doesn't find pleasure in pain. Why does the Bible tell us that? Because the chastisement of our peace was upon him. While Jesus was on the cross, listen to what he says: My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken in the Father-Son relationship as a sacrifice for sin, so that with you and I, he would never leave nor forsake. Through Jesus Christ, he said, I've come to save that which was lost. And I'm sorry, I understand it preaches well, and I understand indirectly, and yes, we can preach it. It's about the sinner, it's about lost humanity, but what it's more about is right relationship with God. What it's more about. I'm gonna mess with your mind a little bit. And rightfully so, we believe in repentance, baptism in his name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We believe that's a newborn experience. That's a new birth experience. But you need to understand that God is a lot more interested in stuff beyond just that. Oh yes, He wants us through Jesus Christ. He wants us to understand how we, in the process of response to the gospel, how we repent. Yes, because why? That's beginning of the restoration of the relationship with God. How that our sins are remitted, therefore there's nothing, there's no more sin that separates, and now we can have communion. We can come boldly. We can come boldly into the throne room in our time of need by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us. Why? Because Jesus restored the Father-Son relationship. I've come to save that which was lost. Back at the text. Jesus brings a child. Says, except you become as one of these little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Be careful not to offend any one of these. Why do you use such strong language, Jesus? Why, in the context of this happening, do you bring this child and set him down in the midst and say, look at him? Except you become as him, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Careful you don't offend him. Why, Jesus? Because there's something you need to understand about a child. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that are under the law. To restore the Father-Son relationship. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. Don't offend these children. Because even though they don't know it yet, they're heirs. Don't offend them yet. They haven't been brought through the tutors and the governors. They haven't understood it all yet. Don't offend him. This is why I say many times he's not talking about just little children in the sense of adolescence or in the sense of natural age. He's talking about children in the sense of spiritual who do not understand. There's a relationship that God wants with them. Right now, as a child, they don't differ much from a servant, though they be Lord of all. They don't understand. They haven't been taught yet. They haven't been brought along to understand that there's a relationship that awaits them with the Father. But Jesus came so that we could have the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba! Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God, Christ. Here it is, I'm wrapping up. As a servant, our work for the master is out of obligation and duty. As a son, you do so because you understand an increase in your Father's kingdom is an increase in your inheritance. Put it out of duty and obligation. I don't do what I do and live how I live because that's what Pastor tells me to do. I do what I do and I live how I live because I recognize that I'm a son. I recognize that I'm a son and a daughter of God. And I recognize I work like I work and I do what I do. And I live how I live, not out of duty and obligation as a servant, but because I understand an increase in the Father's kingdom is an increase in mine own inheritance. And right now in this life, when I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm living how I'm living, it's only just a little earnest of the inheritance. It's only just a little bit of what I'm eventually going to get. And so I'm going to keep doing everything I can do. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. John 1, verse number 10, he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Catch it. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In the Garden of Eden, the sonship was lost. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the sonship was saved. However, it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I've come to save that which was lost. Oh, I'll teach, preach, believe, essentiality of baptism, repentance, baptism in his name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But it goes so much further. That's just the beginning. It wants you to grow up. Because even though, if you still stay a child, please understand this. If I stay immature spiritually, I differ nothing from a servant, though I be Lord of all. If I stay immature in my thinking about who I am, the relationship I have with God, I differ nothing from a servant, even though I'm Lord of all. But if I grow up, if I become a man and put away childish things, and I start understanding, yes, there's a higher purpose. Yes, there's a reason. It goes so much further than what I ever even realized. There's a relationship that he longs for. Jesus said, their angels are always beholding the face of my Father. They're looking at the longing that's on his face as he longs for that relationship to be restored, that father-son relationship to be restored. He's looking for, and Jesus says, I've come to save that which was lost. The beauty is this, my friend. He didn't come just to save you. He came to save the relationship. He came to put you back in right standing so that you could walk with God, so that you could have relationship with God, so that you could now have an intimacy with your Father. The sonship was lost, but Jesus saved it. And now through Him, you and I have opportunity. Now through Him.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me
He wants relationship.
That you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Start seeing yourself as more than a servant.
It's who I am.
Your sons and daughters of God.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
But beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers.
You're not little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom.
We're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word.
These altars are open.
Good, good Father. It's who
time
you
start
are.
Seeing Him as your Father.
It's who you are. It's who you are, and
every good and perfect gift cometh down from the
it's
Father of lights, in whom there is no variance, neither shadow of turning.
It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, with love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. He's so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, with love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. To love, love, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Should be no wonder, in a natural sense, how that they say one of the greatest contributing factors to a life of crime is the absence of a father figure. The absence of a father. Paul told young Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Why use such strong language, Paul? Because if he provides not his own, doesn't look after his own, especially those of his own house, he violates the very nature of God. See, sometimes in my father's love for me, he has to correct me. He chasteneth those that he loves. Despise not. Don't look bad at chastening of the Lord. Understand, he does it out of love. If I tell my son, don't go play in the street, I know there's danger out there. I find him playing in the street. Guess what? He's going to get corrected. Paul, but you shouldn't do that kind of stuff. Really? Would you rather the alternative? I love him. I love him enough to go out there in the street and jerk him up and punish him. Why? Because I love him. I don't want that relationship gone. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you correct me, that you chastise me, yes, because you so value the relationship. One more time, can we lift our hands all over this house? For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Through Jesus Christ, there's restoration of the sonship. There's restoration. And now through him we are joint heirs with Christ. Through him we now have a heavenly inheritance. Why don't you applaud the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, God. Thank you for being
my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Remember, 6 o'clock tonight, a marriage seminar, talents going on, children and young people. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
If Sister Day contacted you, she needs to meet with you up front real quick. She contacted some ladies in the church, so if you would please meet with her up here at the front, that'd be great.